Grab your favorite caffeinated beverage and get cozy because you are listening to Mindful as a Mother with Paige Bruce and Lindsay Adams.
Do you remember those toys from when we were kids where you would fit the different shaped pegs into the different shaped holes?
Yeah.
That's a lot like parenting, except when you have a neurodivergent child, using traditional parenting techniques is like trying to put the round peg in the star hole.
That's exactly how I felt when I discovered that Sam was neurodivergent. I knew that traditional parenting techniques and even the approaches that I was taught in grad school, they didn't feel right in my soul to like supporting who he was as a human. And they also just weren't effective. And that's when I discovered the power of responsive parenting.
Exactly. So if you are like us and are interested in tailoring responsive parenting techniques to your neurodivergent world, check out our Parenting Your NeuroSpicy video series. You can find it in our Stand store at the link in the show notes.
This podcast is not intended to be a substitute for therapy or the therapeutic relationship. And the information given in this podcast is purely for educational purposes and is not intended to replace the advice of a professional.
Hello and welcome back to Mindful as a Mother. This is Paige.
And I'm Lindsay.
And we're a couple months deep into season four. This season we're talking all types of neurodivergence. We're really hoping to touch on autistic traits and neurodivergence and also ADHD and neurodivergence, what it's like parenting as a neurodivergent individual and also parenting neurodivergent children. Am I missing anything?
No, all the things. You got them all.
Yeah. One of my very favorite parts of season four is has got to be the neurodivergent nuggets.
Yeah. I love a dino nugget. So dino nuggets are a hot commodity in our house.
I love those nuggets. But today we're going to talk specifically about self-care for parents. And I'm going to put these in the show notes, but we're going to talk about the book Burnout, Unlocking the Stress Cycle, like we did at the beginning of this season. And then also Growing Up Mindful by Christopher Willard. It's actually called Growing Up Mindful, Essential Practices to Help Children, Teens, and Families Find Balance, Calm, and Resilience.
Love.
I love it. So what comes to your mind when I say self-care?
That it's like overused and misunderstood on Instagram is what comes to mind.
That's such a counselor thing to say, quite honestly.
It really is.
That's exactly what I think too. If you were thinking about it, like not from an educated standpoint, you didn't know what self-care was, what would you like assume it is based off of what social media portrays?
Bubble baths and weekends alone in hotels and vacation and pedicures.
Yeah, right? Like a lot of money, mm-hmm. A lot of alone time. Okay, so I talk about self-care a lot. I'm very passionate about the concept, but I think I stopped calling it self-care just because it became a buzzword on social media of like self-care, healthcare, like drink my wine. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay. So when I am talking about self-care, I don't want self-care to just be checking a box. Mm-hmm. When I define self-care, to me, it is really an action that you make consciously to fill your soul and bring you comfort and care.
Love.
So to me, self-care is in the intention, not the action itself. Mm-hmm. Because that can be two different things. And we'll talk about that. And a couple years ago, I was going to counseling. Counselors go to counseling.
Yes.
It's a thing. But I was going to counseling and my counselor was asking me like, what do you do for self-care? And I was like, oh, well, I go to the gym. And I listed a couple other things. And I remember this because it was like a core memory for me on why I developed this concept around self-care. She's like, well, that's healthcare. That's not self-care. And I was like, no, that is self-care for me. It's an intention. It's not like just a box I check. It's not just like, well, I need to physically be okay. Like
Paige is like reading her therapist right now. Like she's like, actually, no. Like Paige became the therapist. She like stepped in and was like, listen.
And I was like, I get that perspective. And I have run into people where working out or exercise is more healthcare than self-care. But at that time for me, that was a way for me to get reflective time on my own that made me feel good.
And if you have like an unhealthy relationship with exercise, I think moving it into the like
the self-care with the intention of self-care category can be really helpful in healing that. That was like a total side note, but
I love that. And mm-hmm. I think that's really important to note because some people do have unhealthy relationships with exercise or movement diet
in general.
Yeah. And so it's really the intention, mm-hmm. right? So what is the intention that you are moving with? Mm-hmm. Why are you going? Why are you making yourself go to the gym? Like, why do you go?
The community, because I get to socialize with someone who, with people that I'm not like working with. Because so I go to Burn Boot Camp, guys. And so it's like a workout class. And so it's usually the same people. There's like a sense of community. They really highly focus on that. And so for me, it's like I get to socialize with these people. These people show up and they're like, oh, I'm so glad you made it today. And they ask how I'm doing and they care about me as a human. But it's not about my profession. Like, I think two people in the whole place know that I'm a therapist.
Yeah. It's totally not about the profession. And I don't tell anybody where I work out that I'm a counselor either.
Yeah. And so it's like not about, it's just about like, oh, okay, we're happy you're here. I get to like high five some people. And then the workout piece is for my mental health purely.
Mm-hmm. And so you notice a significant difference?
Oh, huge. Life changing.
I love that. And yeah. for some people, that's really the case. I think mental health wise, yes, I experience a difference, but it's not like night and day. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. But I love to go. I love the feeling of knowing that I'm improving. So mm-hmm. it's kind of like personal goals too. Like I'm improving my endurance. I'm improving my strength. I'm improving my cardio.
Yeah.
Like anytime I can increase my flexibility, like mm-hmm. to me, that's like a personal sense of accomplishment. Almost like a hobby at this point.
Like, yeah. And it gives me something outside of myself. Like it's a challenge that I'm showing up for every day.
Yes.
And it's mine.
Really love the idea of the positive social interaction. Uh-huh. Right. Because I also was working out alone. I worked out alone for years. And then I just started feeling tired of always being alone. So I joined a community and I really enjoy the positive social interactions, like that the coaches like sharing feedback on how ways I can improve, like complimenting things that I have improved. My classmates, my fellow classmates are super encouraging, and it's sometimes embarrassing because I'm usually like the last to finish the workout. Mm-hmm. But the whole, they call it tribe, mm-hmm. the whole tribe mindset is that if someone is still working out, then you are still working out. Mm-hmm. And so even after they finish their workout and they've caught their breath, like wherever I'm at, they come and join me.
Oh,
until
love
we
that.
Complete the workout.
Yeah.
And that's true of like every person that's still working out.
Yeah.
And so I really appreciate that portion of it. But that was kind of how I developed like my core memory and definition of what self-care is. And I think it ebbs and flows where sometimes like watching TV for a couple hours is self-care. And sometimes it's like more of like avoidance. Mm-hmm. Depending on my intention.
Well, and I'm a big bubble bath girl, so no bashing bubble baths as self-care. I'm just saying that like taking a bubble bath isn't going to heal your burnout, and it's not like so, but the intention behind it, like when I and you mentioned this I think in the last episode, like taking a hot shower when you get home is like your way of regulating and like self-care. So for me, it's also like any way that's like keeping me closing my stress cycles is self-care. That's where my self-care focus has been. So like a warm bath with a few deep breaths and some like relaxing music or just like some smelly bath salts is like for me self-care when I go into it with that intention. It's not just I'm getting in the bath to say that I'm doing self-care.
Yeah, to get in the bath. Exactly. And so that really brings us back to when we were talking about the stress cycle, which for the last couple months, really understanding emotional regulation in the stress cycle and these different parts of parenting and self has been kind of a big focus. Mm-hmm. And so really the intention of self-care should be closing those stress cycles, mm-hmm. which until you are familiar with this concept or introduced to it, I don't think we recognize it as that.
No, not at all. And so I'm thinking of like also another thing I love for self-care that it doesn't happen as often because it's kind of like a bigger financial investment is massages.
Oh yeah.
And so I was actually just thinking as you were talking, massages incorporate that like that physical touch piece in a regulating way. And it's not, and I don't mean that in like a weird creepy way, but like it's relaxing. It is
human to human contact. Yeah,
it's human to human contact, and that it's that's probably partially why it's so regulating to me.
Yes. And then I truly believe that things have waxed and waned. So just as a reminder, when we talk about the different types of self-care, those things we talked about in the beginning of this season with closing your stress cycle. So physical activity, different types of breathing exercises, positive social interactions, laughter, affection, crying, creative expression. Mm-hmm. These are all, quote unquote, self-care. Mm-hmm. Also, evidence-based ways to close your stress cycle.
Yes. So puzzles are self-care for me.
Oh, I
love there that. Are times where I will, like, I have, like, puzzle books. So we're talking, like, puzzle games, puzzle books, board games, but also, like, physical puzzles. So you put the pieces together. So sometimes if I know I'm needing, like, to close some stress cycles, I've been really, like, burnt out, I set those things out on the weekend and intentionally work on them for self-care because it's, like, a creative problem solving. Like, I very much enjoy that. Mm-hmm. And it helps me close those stress cycles. Like,
I love that. Mm-hmm. When I was in my graduate program, Rory was just born. So she was maybe like 3 or 4 months old. And I remember the instructor asking us, like, what do you feel like you need today? And like my whole body just said sleep. Mm-hmm. And so honestly, at that time, I was a full-time student, full-time mom, and I worked full-time. And Zane was living in Idaho. Mm-hmm. Because we were like in the process of moving. So mm-hmm. I was also solo parenting. Mm-hmm. And so really for me, it was like everything was so high demand that sleep was an act of self-care. Mm-hmm. Like getting sleep.
Mm-hmm. And getting good sleep is like a part of my regular self-care and like regulation routine. And so sometimes it's like not fun. Like self-care is not always fun, guys. Like it's that like I'm in the middle of like binging this show and I want to watch one more episode, but like it's literally my bedtime. Yeah. Tim gets a little bit frustrated with me because I've had to be a little more rigid with my bedtime because I have no chill, right? Like once I'm in a binge, I'm in a binge. So mm-hmm. it'll be like middle of an episode and my like bedtime alarm will go off. I'm like, okay, I'm going to bed. And he's like, what? You're not going to finish this episode? And I'm like, absolutely not. I'll watch it tomorrow. Good night. And so I've had to like change my approach to that. Mm-hmm. And that's been hard. And it's actually required me to set boundaries with myself.
Yeah, boundaries with myself are the worst and best self-care. Mm-hmm. So that was going to be my other part. Like, sometimes it's fun. Sometimes it feels nice. I mean, it's always supposed to feel nice. Like, sometimes, like, the hot springs. I love to be in hot springs. For me, that's an act of self-care.
We did that last night.
Yes. Yeah. And things that are not necessarily, like, fun, romanticized self-care is making sure I'm eating regularly throughout the day.
Yes. And so the way I like to think of this, because it's not fun, you're like, how is this like filling my cup? It's like, think of your future self. So like, what can I do that will make future Lindsay like thriving and vibing? So mm-hmm. it's like, I can go to bed, I can drink my water, I can get my electrolytes in, I can get my movement in, and I can eat enough protein. And like, that's not always fun.
Yeah, it's basically like reparenting.
Yeah, but it's like that's how I can care for myself in a way that helps me show up in the best way possible as a parent and as my future self.
Yes. So I actually have this self-care assessment that sometimes I bring out and I walk through with my clients, not to be like, you're good at self-care, you're bad at self-care. But I think so many of the ideas on it are things I wouldn't have thought about as potential self-care just to check in on. And I often am like, you're just a complicated houseplant. Like sun, water, food, rest. Like start there. And so I wanted to review some of those things off of the assessment just as like points of reflection.
Yeah.
Like, what does this look like
for you? Will you email that to me too?
Yeah, totally.
This is what we do behind the scenes. We share resources with each other. So if someone has like a good therapy idea, we're like, email that to me. Send that to me.
Yes. So it is, the first little category is physical.
Okay.
And then it has like all these different things that you can rate or not rate. It's like eating healthy foods, taking care of hygiene.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Right? It's like things I necessarily wouldn't have thought of, but it's like very important foundational piece of caring for your basic needs.
That's why the everything shower like went wild on TikTok. Do you know what the everything shower? My gosh. Okay. So everyone was talking about the everything shower not everyone. It was like a trend thing on TikTok. And the everything shower is the shower you take where you do all the things. You like shave your legs, you deep condition, you do a facial mask. Like it's like the regulating everything shower.
That's so funny. I call that a level 4. I didn't know that was like a popular thing, but I call it my level 4 shower.
And that is my Saturday or Sunday shower, depending on when I need to wash my hair.
Yeah.
Because it's a thing. But it's my, and that is self-care, but it's also taking care of my hygiene needs. It's when I make sure, like, I'm shaved where I want to be shaved. I'm like,
yeah, sometimes I touch up my eyebrows.
Yeah.
I usually have like my teeth whitening,
clipping my nails. Like,
yeah, I have a face mask.
And I think this self-care piece we get as a culture, we're moving from like focus on appearance. And I love that. Do not get me wrong. I'm 100% behind that. But there is merit in the when you feel good about yourself, you feel more fulfilled and you show up differently. So yeah. For me, it's like, it's not like how can I fit into society's box of what I should look like?
Right.
But like when my eyebrows are tweezed, I like, do I feel better about myself? Yes. So I'm going to do that. Not like 90s style, yeah. But you get what
or
I mean.
Or like we rarely wear makeup. Mm-hmm. Society says women should wear makeup.
Yeah.
We rarely wear makeup and we're okay with that. Yeah. Like that's one of the examples of
well,
like,
I wear yes, makeup, I'm doing I just a, don't wear
like
that
a
much.
Face mask.
Yeah.
But I'm not like, oh my God, I need to do this face mask. So I have like.
No blemishes.
So I'm a trampoline with eyes.
Oh, ha! Real House of Salt Lake City reference. I hope you got that.
But that's like
or a like really the under eye patches. Like I'll do yeah, those,
and that's I have like an eye cream.
Yeah, and it's like I feel good about like taking care of my skin, and it's more about like oh my skin feels so soft. I do wear makeup. Yes. It's just like bare minimum, so it's yeah. Like oh it goes on more smoothly. Or like painting my nails.
Yeah,
like sometimes I'll paint my nails just because I like how I feel, not because I feel like they have to be painted.
Exactly. Or I deep condition my hair, yes, to have luscious beautiful hair, but primarily because when I moved to Idaho the climate did not fare well with my skin. Mm-hmm. So I will easily get dandruff or I'll get like sores or so my head is super, super, my skin is very, very dry. So if I'm not regularly like lotioning or conditioning my scalp, it's uncomfortable.
Can I tell you my favorite like self-care way to regulate my nervous system right now?
Yeah.
Dry brushing.
Oh, yeah.
We've been talking about that, right? And because it's also like helps with like lymphatic drainage and I have like really crappy circulation. And so I've been working on that, but it also like it's very regulating. And so I do it before I take a shower or bath. And then I've been like oiling my skin and it's like I just feel and it like smells good. And every time I come out, I'm like, you smell so good. And it's like that, like I feel maybe a little bit sexy.
Pheromones.
But I also feel like a very relaxed yeah. And like grounded. And it's like the intention behind it too is like I feel so good about myself and I feel so good physically when I do this that like yeah. It's part of my self-care routine.
Yeah, and that's why. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So then they also mention exercise, wearing clothes that help you feel good, eating regularly, which for our neurodivergent friends, for everybody, but specifically neurodivergent friends, like you need to keep your blood sugar stabilized to help mitigate like having extreme symptoms. Like the more that your blood sugar peaks and falls dramatically, the more severe you will experience the same symptoms you already do.
Yes. And I'm not like a nutritionist or a doctor by any means, but regular protein has changed my life and my mood. And I don't think it has to be rigid. Like I think I always had this idea that like I have to follow this like rigid clean eating diet to feel good. And when I let go of like that rigid expectation, I was able to be like, okay, what makes my body feel good?
Yeah.
When I eat a high protein breakfast, my body feels good.
Yeah.
Exactly. I love pancakes and waffles.
Yep.
But if I eat that, I'm feeling like shit the rest of the day.
We were just talking about yesterday where I said if I have like a high simple carbohydrates within my like lunch meal, then I get really, really sleepy. Mm-hmm. And it's because it like my blood sugar spikes and then falls. Mm-hmm. So it's like that doesn't feel sustainable for me. And then it takes a while to come back from like, so eating regularly and what you're eating, getting enough sleep.
So back to that, don't pull a page and get a large iced coffee and not eat and then wonder why you're anxious and spiraling.
That's real. But I don't wonder. I know why. Yeah. I just consciously made the decision to be self-destructive.
Well, sometimes it's like I got distracted or today has been wild and suddenly I'm past the point.
Yeah.
And we've talked to each other about this before. Like, I just need to stop and eat something. Like, I cannot do another damn thing until I stop and eat something.
Yeah, and you have to make yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have to force yourself to stop and eat. I loved this one, going to preventative medical appointments, if you're privileged enough to have insurance for them.
For me, this is the dentist. Mm-hmm. We don't have dental insurance, but Like I hate it, I avoid it, and then it creates this anxiety about it because I haven't gone. Mm-hmm. So I've started like making myself go every 6 months.
Yeah. And well, I've been going to the chiropractor because I had some pain, right? We were talking about. So that's regularly incorporated into my routine until that's my body is reset where it needs to be instead of waiting until there's a bigger problem, like meeting your body's needs.
Speaking of waiting till there's a bigger problem, I was putting off the dentist. I had a toothache. Kept putting it off. Finally, I was like, I have to go in because I was like not functioning. And I didn't realize how much the pain was affecting my like overall level of functioning. I thought like I'm for sure going to need a root canal. So I went in planning that. They had to pull my tooth because it was infected to the point where it was like down into the nerve.
Oh, wow.
And they had to give me like 5 different shots of numbing straight into my nerve because it would not numb. And the guy and my cheek had been like trained to guard that tooth. So anytime he would try to like do anything, my cheek would like automatically come in. Our bodies are amazing, guys, because of the pain, right? And so what I didn't realize is that my whole body was like tensed up in pain all the time, probably jacking my nervous system, all because I was avoiding this like very critical piece of self-care that is not sexy or fun.
Yeah. See? And it's not like romanticized at all. It's not sexy. It's not fun. It just is.
So I'm down a tooth now and I need an implant.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, look.
Oh, wow. She just showed me, guys.
It's my very back tooth, guys. I lucked out. But that was like my freaking wake up call. Like, girl, and even Tim was like, you have got to like...
take care of yourself.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Because I complained about it before and he would be like, go to the dentist. And my reaction would be like, I don't have time. I don't have time.
No money.
Yeah, I don't have time or, you know, it's almost Christmas or blah, 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 blah. And like in reality, it was like I needed to make that a priority. None of those excuses were valid. We had the time. We had the money. I just wasn't making
it a priority. Yeah, you weren't prioritizing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which also happens. Human giver syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Circle back to episodes 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
So the next area is psychological or emotional self-care.
Love.
And so it says, close your stress cycle regularly.
Done.
We're here for that. Take time off from work, school, or other obligations.
Love.
I love that, especially because we're in a society that preaches hustle culture.
I'm terrible at this, you know. And I've recently started like embracing it more, specifically from I love mindful as a mother. It is my like passion project, which means I have a really freaking hard time disconnecting.
Mm-hmm.
Even with like our social media presence, we've like changed some things. So like I'm not as active there. And it first, I got a lot of anxiety. I think I'm a workaholic. We'll talk about that later. But now it feels so good.
Yes. And you took your first ever vacation, no internet.
Literally, I had to set myself up for this because I knew I was not capable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. This is like hacking your life, guys. Yeah. I went on a cruise and I did not purchase the Wi-Fi package.
Yep.
I ended up having the Wi-Fi package because they comped it, but then I deleted social media off of my phone.
Yeah. So it was like you had to put in those hard boundaries, right, for that. And so that's a big one, taking time off. Like you have sick days, you have time to take off. Those concepts I think we just blow over about like how you're irreplaceable at home but you're replaceable at work, like those are real.
Yeah. And can I just like share a few things that I love, like for technology boundaries?
Yes.
Okay, so there's an app, it's totally free, it's called Offscreen. They do have like every app has like a subscription purchase, but this will help you, like tells you how many times you're picking up your phone, all that. But you can also set like it has focus settings, and your iPhone will also do this. It's just a little more complicated, so look into that, where if I go into certain focus settings, it will make it so I cannot access my email, because my email, social media, and then a couple of their work platforms are where I'm like checking a lot or working when I'm home.
Mm-hmm.
So it's become this habit to like put it into the focus mode, and the focus mode is literally titled present with kids. So that like I know, and then when you go to open the app, it like gives you a cool quote and reminds you to stay off your email. It's like, oh, okay. So this helped me realize like how unintentionally I was getting sucked into like refreshing my email, refreshing my feed, feeling like I needed to respond to comments or post more stories or do whatever. And to come back to like, oh, I'm resting right now. This is my rest
time. Yeah, this is the rest time. And oftentimes what I do is a little bit different because I just remove it from my space. So I'll put it in a completely different room and then.
Yeah. Sometimes I Like, I love that idea. And when we're all home together, I feel like I can do that. I also feel like there's sometimes convenience pieces, especially in the evening on weekdays, of having my phone. So like I'm waiting for Tim to get home from work and he's usually calling me. I need to look up my recipe. Yeah. And so things like that.
Yeah, those levels of convenience. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so we talked a little bit about that last season too, about how to work in ways to be more mindful and like taking no phone zones or repeated breaks, but just know that it's normal to feel anxious when you start in small doses. Mm-hmm. So other emotional or psychological is participating in hobbies.
Yes. What are your hobbies, Paige?
Well, the gym is one of my hobbies. I also really like to paint for fun. I don't really keep them or show them, but painting for fun. I also really enjoy crafting, like with my kids.
Is sourdough your hobby now?
It was my hyperfixation for a minute. Mm-hmm. And cooking is a hobby, not a fixation. It is a hobby. Baking in general is a hobby of mine because I think those are all like really creative. Mm-hmm. I'm a very creative soul. Mm-hmm. So those are all creative expressions for me. So those are some of my hobbies right now. And spending time with my kids, which I'll get into later, but spending time with your family can be self-care. Mm-hmm. Again, it's the intention. What are some of your hobbies?
Well, I think mine are changing a lot, which is why I was like, I don't have any hobbies, but I actually do. I just think that they shift. So I like to read a lot. I like puzzles, puzzle games, spending time with family, camping, going to like sporting events, watching sports.
Concerts. You're a concert girly.
I know. I love concerts are a hobby. They're an expensive hobby.
Expensive hobby.
It's cheaper than like hunting though. That's what I tell Tim. Like,
that's also true.
Hunting's such an expensive
hobby. Yeah. Well, and then I was thinking when the weather is different, my hobbies shift. Mm-hmm. So as long as you're exploring something that you enjoy, that's not an obligation. Mm-hmm. I think that can be considered a hobby.
Yes.
You know? So removing distractions regularly, we just talked about. And I think a limitations on our phone, devices, social media. And then there was this meme that I liked. So I just wrote down the quote that's like, we are becoming more unhappy or unhappier as a society because of the overconsumption of other people's lives. Mm-hmm. And I totally agree with that. And I actually enjoy not being on social media very much. That's a me thing.
It's funny. I think if it wasn't a work thing for me, I don't know that I would ever be on it. Because once I get in phases where I'm out of work mode, I don't have any desire to be on it. And I never check like my, well, not never. I forget to check my personal account. Mm-hmm. It is literally like a work passion mindfulness other thing for me.
Yeah.
And that's been unpacking. That's been a lot because it's been like I can have that and I can also like
have other passions
and have a break.
Yeah. Because it's my passion too, but I leave it sometimes. I step away. Let's see. The other examples are recognizing strengths and achievements, which I think is a really challenging one, but I really like that. Doing something comforting. And so some of these I really like because we think self-care needs to be this big expensive thing. But like doing something comforting. Having a Diet Coke. Me having a warm cup of coffee. Snuggling up with a blanket.
Heating pad. Minky blanket.
Exactly. And then I save like some of my favorite shows to watch right before like my evening ends to wind down. So I'll save those episodes for me. That's something comforting, something I enjoy.
Housewives.
It's an act of self-care. Exactly. Okay, the next area is social. So positive social interactions, spending time with people you like, not with people you don't like. So setting those boundaries for yourself.
Yes.
Calling and writing to friends, having stimulating conversations, meeting new people or joining groups or communities, and spending time with your partner. The one that I thought was really interesting about the social self-care was asking for help. Was one of their suggestions.
Hmm.
I was like, oh, a lot of us girlies, including me, struggle with them.
Yeah, human giver syndrome.
Yes. So then spiritual, spending time in nature, meditate, pray, mindfulness, practice self-compassion.
Yoga is a huge part of your spiritual routine. Mine is like, or self-care, mine's like pulling cards or also yoga at night, like sometimes.
Yeah.
Prayer, journaling. Things like that are great.
Yes. Yeah. And the gratitude practice, One important one I thought about was acting in accordance with your morals and values. Mm-hmm. So being in congruence with yourself. And then I want to bring up that book, Growing Up Mindful by Dr. Christopher Willard, because he specifically talks about ways to include 5-minute mindfulness into your routine that make it achievable in the different types. So it talks about the neuroscience behind why mindfulness is such an important practice and why it's evidence-based in closing those stress cycles and improving your lives, et cetera, et cetera. But then like realistic strategies to experiment with. Mm-hmm. So please check that out.
That book has been through some shit.
It's been through a lot. It's messed up. It's warped.
There's been some water that has been near.
I use it a lot, but it's a very, because yeah. It has so much evidence-based.
There's like sticky notes coming out of all places of this book. So you need to check it out. I need to read it now too.
So my challenge for you guys is to really contemplate for the next week what your definition of self-care is and experimenting with different ways to incorporate it. And I'll just leave you with this idea that self-care is intimately defined by you, and you are the only one that can ensure what you're doing is self-care.
Love.
Love.
All right, catch us next week.
Thanks for coming to Mindful as a Mother podcast. If you'd like more of us and Mindful as a Mother, you can find Paige at Instagram at Parenting with Paige and Lindsay at Linz_AdamsLCSW. Find us on TikTok, Instagram, and in our Facebook group, Creating Community and Smashing Parental Stigma, Embracing Mindful Motherhood and Positive Parenting. Thanks so much, and see you next time.